What has all this study and conversation about social capital meant as Utah Foundation has looked at it from multiple angles? Social capital, defined as the value of relationships in families and the larger community, is an extremely valuable asset, every bit as important as money in the bank for the places and people that have it. Utah Foundation President Sean Tigan looked back on the series of reports about social capital and what it brings to families and communities fortunate enough to claim it.
Why is that important and what kind of benefits do you get? You get all sorts of things. And what we talk about in the primer to this project is we talk about the stronger community engagement. We talk about improved educational outcomes and health outcomes. We talk about accelerated economic development for communities. We talk about resource allocation. We talk about reduced reliance on government services. There are all these benefits to social capital. That's why this project is so important and why the Utah Foundation is revisiting this project over time.
You're listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. In 2025, Utah Foundation published a total of 9 reports on social capital, together looking at 34 different metrics that show just where things stand, everything from educational attainment to civic engagement to religious participation. In the final capstone report, Sean Tigan says the combined metrics paint a pretty good picture of Utah's social capital ranking, tops in the nation. But he told a roundtable discussion among Utah Foundation staff that ranking is not quite what it used to be.
So Utah has the highest social capital index score in the nation, and over the past 12 years has been either first, second, or third in terms of social capital. So we've been doing very well. 4 years ago when we went into the social capital project, we were also highest in the nation. The downside of Utah's social capital index score is using these metrics that we put together for the 2025 report. We found that our index score is 82 out of 100. So we're certainly not perfect. And we've actually seen a downward slide. So in 2013, Utah stood at 96 out of 100. And we're now down to 82 out of 100. This compares to the United States, which stands at 44, and there used to be a larger gap between the United States and Utah. Utah has seen this downward slide, whereas the United States is pretty consistent over time.
Senior research analyst Christopher Collard says the decline in social capital in Utah and across the nation reflects a significant change in what we do with our time.
Like, how much time are we spending alone? How much time we're spending with family, or how much time we're spending with friends, or how our children are spending their time. Less time reading, less time at family meals, less time with friends and neighbors, more time on screen, more time alone. And, you know, that crosses several of our sub-indices, but that does seem to be one of the larger trends showing kind of that really highlight the decrease in social capital we've been seeing, especially over the past 8 years.
If there was any one thing that pushed the social capital index down, both in Utah and across the United States, it was the COVID pandemic. Research analyst Ashley Marshall Cantor and research assistant Stina Jorgensen say that dramatically changed their interaction with friends and the community.
Groups have kind of become smaller, and there's not as much interaction between them as I once remember them. That might have just been, you know, my part in remembering wrong, but I feel like it tends to be a lot more like we have to like plan weeks in advance to make sure everybody can make it, whereas like you would just have more spontaneous things like, hey, if you want to like come to the mall on this day, like let's go do it. If you can't make it, that's okay. But like we'll keep on doing more spontaneous things more often.
But I think that you are in such an interesting age of life to have gone through the pandemic, because you're describing, right, like everyone does go through what you're talking about. We're like in high school, it is so much more spontaneous. We can get multiple people together so much easier. And then, you know, going into adulthood, you do have to schedule out weeks in advance, sometimes months in advance. But the pandemic maybe did accelerate that for you. I don't know.
I do think it definitely did. You know, I like looking back on it, well, obviously we had a couple years where like, if we did want to meet up, we had to, like, go to a park, and, like, everybody had to wear masks and be 6 feet apart from each other at all times. And so, you know, it just became a lot more difficult to interact, I think, and in a spontaneous way. And I think that that kind of carried through the latter years of high school, which was interesting.
So, if Utah's still strong social capital position is not quite what it once was, how will it change in the future? That conversation went around the table as the group considered answers to that question.
Since this is the capstone report, and you're wrapping up the project, at least for this year, are you asking the right questions? Are you measuring the right things? Does our definition of social capital need to change?
That's a great question, and it's one we argue every year. Definitely, I think as we were reviewing the data points from this year, that's something we're looking at. Do you remember what we may, I remember, you know, as we were doing this, I remember taking notes. Oh, we need to do this next year.
We're spending, figuring out how people are spending time.
Especially children, like looking at how children are spending their time. That's something we're much more interested in looking at next year. It's kind of hard data to get.
But it's also, I think it's also a good question because it's like, because we are not really technically measuring social capital.
Like, these are just indicators that we think are tied with the strength of or broadness, the strength or breadth of people's relationships. A lot of these cases, maybe some of these things are caused by social capital. Maybe some of these things cause better social capital. And it's hard to differentiate between those two sometimes. You know, if you have larger families, if you have larger, more people, more adults in the household, you know, that probably causes children growing up to have better networks. Access, those households probably have access to better resources or more resources. While others, if you look at voting, we're not really sure if does voting cause better social capital or is voting a sign of high social capital? And there's some argument there. So a lot of these reports, we can't really say what we need to do to improve social capital, but rather these are both symptoms of high social capital or symptoms of low social capital and things that we think might cause good social capital.
The Utah Foundation will keep its focus on social capital going into the new year, while other issues for its research agenda come from our broad, community-based Board of Trustees. And we're always interested in your ideas and comments on the work that we do. The mission of the Utah Foundation is to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. Thanks for listening to Utah Thrives. I'm Dan Bomas.